What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Great Lakes Football Talk, presented by the Fantasy Football Fraternity. We are officially into the season. It's beyond week one right now. We're going into week two, so we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's kick it off here. First and foremost, I mean, I don't even know where I wanted to start. We have Lamar Jackson out here throwing five touchdowns. We got an awesome Monday night game last night, the first game between the Texans and the Saints, and then before we've been talking about all that, we got some Antonio Brown news. So let's touch a little bit on that first, because we don't want to talk too much on it. But let's just give our thoughts on Antonio Brown. And Ed, why don't you go here? Because I don't know how much you know about it, but let's see your thoughts on it.
I was just reading that we have 0 days since Antonio Brown incident again. I don't know how credible it is. This kind of coming out in the woodwork with it's about his trainer on three separate incidents. It's kind of weird that, you know, she was still training him a year later after it happened. You know, rape is never anything funnier to joke about. I mean, I'm not meaning to laugh or anything, but it's kind of oddly timed right now how it is. Like, the incidents all happened, you know, between a year or more ago, and I haven't seen anything. Unless I haven't read the whole article, it's only one female. I really don't like Antonio Brown, but I'd certainly hope it's not true.
Yeah, I mean, we've been monitoring NFL Network since the news came out. I'm on NFL's website right now, and I mean, all that's really out there right now is just on Twitter and a lot of he said, she said. So who even knows how true it is, but I mean, definitely something to monitor fantasy purposes. I mean, it's if he has a full week of practice with the Patriots, will he play this week? Is he going to be suspended? Is something going to happen? So, I mean, definitely not anything to joke around about, but it is something to definitely keep our eyes on. Eric, you got any thoughts on it?
I don't. Like Ed said, it's nothing to joke around about. There's... You know, I've had my eye on NFL Network this whole time since I heard about it, and there's nothing been breaking. And so I am also kind of a little skeptical of the timing and everything. But if there's one organization that's not going to mess around with it, it's the Patriots. So if there's any truth to it, I don't think that I think this could be Antonio Brown's last straw.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Continue to see what happens. Wednesday is usually a big practice day. For a lot of the teams going into the week's game. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Next thing going on here, minor trade in the NFL today. Those Patriots did trade Demaryius Thomas to the Jets. Ed, we'll get your thoughts on that real quick. What do you think about Demaryius Thomas? He's way past his prime. I don't think you're going to get the Peyton Manning Demaryius Thomas, but what do you think? Do you think you bring anything to the table for you?
I was a little surprised. I mean, a Jets-Patriots trade, that's not something that happens every day. I mean, we could certainly use a big body down the red zone. I mean, Robbie Anderson's really a burner and over the top type of guy. Crowder's, you know, he's going to hit you dink and dunk. You know, Edelman 10.0 or whatever you want to call him. You know, you're going to get, he had, 14 catches the other day for, you know, he gets the yardage he gets. Randy Moss had 14 catches at 500 yards. But, I mean, he's going to be okay in the red zone. Six-round pick. I mean, what do you really get from a six-round pick? A punter? I mean, it's worth it. It's basically to beat somebody off waivers. That's all.
Yeah, a little bit of a throwaway. Don't know if there's any fantasy impact there. Definitely got to give him a couple weeks to get acclimated with that offense first and kind of see where it goes. But he'll probably be floating around the waivers for a little while.
He's a non-starter this week.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wouldn't think that. And
if he even suits up, he's still a little dinged up, I believe.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in the coming weeks, see where that goes. Let's talk about some week one games here. First, we kicked it off last Thursday with the Packers and Bears celebrating the 100th season of the NFL. Kind of a dud game, but, I mean, everybody was excited that the NFL was back. 10-3 final score. nobody really shined. The defense has shined, but nobody really shined all together. I know Aaron Rodgers was getting pressured like crazy on third down. I don't remember how many sacks he had exactly, but every third down it was like they were after him. Eric, we'll let you start on this one. What are your thoughts on that game and the Packers going forward and just that game in general kicking off the season?
Man, I'm a diehard Packer fan, and it was great. It was so refreshing to see our defense actually win us a game. I mean, it has been years since our defense has even been any kind of threat to any team. We're typically getting picked apart every year. Aaron Rodgers is always, if he does come back at the end, there's many games where the defense just blows it right after that anyway. And, you know, it's just, you know, it was an ugly game. They got beat up a lot. Of course, the Chicago Bears defense is amazing, but the Packers defense kept up with them. And, you know, it really came down to one big drive by the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he aired it out to MVS down the field. And then, you know, they kind of had a hurry up pace going there, and he hit Jimmy Graham on kind of a little, a post up kind of play in the end zone that Jimmy Graham's known for. And that was the difference maker in the whole game. And like I said, I love it. I love the defensive showing. I haven't seen that from the Packers in a really long time. I really hope Mike Pettine's defense can keep it going. We have some really good Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and Adrian Amos. They all showed up, all key additions this year. Darnell Savage, just great, great stuff from our defense. I'm excited going forward.
Yeah, again, it wasn't really a fantasy-heavy game. Allen Robinson had a pretty solid game with 7 receptions for 102 yards. None of the quarterbacks really played well. Aaron Rodgers obviously had that one touchdown but didn't turn the ball over.
Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised the Packers defense did that well against a top 10 quarterback like Mitch Trubisky. I mean, deals, fellas.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got a – Mitch will have – he's one bad game and the rest of the season he'll be top – would have to be top 5 or so.
That was a joke for the listeners. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback.
No, not at all. But just, I mean, I went into that game with Davante Adams on a couple of rosters and ended up with not too many points. I think in full PPR, he only had about 7 points or so, 7.5 points. So definitely didn't kick the week off and kick the season off, right? But it's nice to have football back. So let's move on to Sunday's games. Of course, all the action happened then, and then Monday night we had that last second thriller there. But let's start with the Ravens and the Dolphins. I mean, everybody knows and figured that the Dolphins were going to be bad, but letting Lamar Jackson throw 5 touchdowns on you bad, that was just, I mean, that's probably the shocker of the week. Ed, we'll go to you for this one. I don't know if you have him on any of your teams, but did you ever see that coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had I was actually talking to another group saying that I really think Lamar Jackson could put up Michael Vick numbers this year. I mean, the 5 touchdowns, of course, I did not see that part happening. I didn't expect to look up and see, you know, 21-0, 42-3. You know, I didn't expect that much. He just kept bombing it out there. It's like anybody that played the old NCAA games on PlayStation or Xbox, you know, 17 of 21 for 5 touchdowns. It was really video game numbers with him. I think the Dolphins are really in store for a long season, and nothing would make me more happy as a Jets fan to see the Dolphins go 0-16 this year, and I really see that happening. But Lamar Jackson, he's real. I really think he is. Young receivers there. Ingram, Edwards, guys that can bust off big chunk plays that don't need to get 20 carries a game. They can just rotate them in and out. It reminds me a lot of the Patriots, to tell you the truth. Just guys, you know, I'm not going to compare that offense yet to the Patriots, but guys that can rotate in and out all game long. They got young guys they built through the draft, and I think they're going to be something special.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown, the first wide receiver off the board, in this past April's draft, went for 147 yards on 4 catches with 2 touchdowns. Ingram had a monster game. Robert Griffin III even came in and went 6 for 6 and threw a touchdown. So, I mean, that's just how bad it was. Eric, any thoughts on that game or Lamar Jackson?
I don't have a whole lot more to add from what Ed said. Ed, you know, Lamar Jackson looked great. He's I do want to see it again. You know, it's the Miami Dolphins. They look just terrible. So I would like, but I do have high hopes for Lamar Jackson. I have him on a few teams because I did think he was going to come in and do well this year. But one takeaway for me was I was very disappointed in how much they used Justice Hill. As you know, I have been a Justice Hill truther. And I hope that can go up a little bit. He's one of the main drop, one of the people are dropping a lot right now going into these waiver wire pickups. So I'm going to hang on to him. You know, I love him. So we'll see going forward. But they use Gus Edwards a lot and Ingram, and I was kind of hoping Hill would be a little more involved. But we'll see going forward.
Edwards got the most touches this week. It's kind of hard for Justice Hill to get any carries when they're just, you know, it's only taking them a minute to score on each drive.
Yeah, that's the thing. This game is kind of an outlier. We're going to see going forward in tough games where they need a breakout play and stuff. Justice Hill will be a lot more involved, I believe. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to Justice Hill, too. Don't want to drop him just yet. Moving on, the Chiefs seem to pick up where they left off. Mahomes throwing three touchdowns, all three of them to Sammy Watkins.
Should have been four.
Yeah, should have been four. The last one to Kelsey, right? That's the one you're talking about?
that dumb no-look pass. Dude, any of us could have hit him in the end zone. He was so wide open.
Yeah, he could have very well looked at Kelsey and thrown that ball, and it wouldn't have mattered.
He's got to do the no-looks. That's just what he does. But he... Yeah. Tyreek Hill leaving that game with injury. It's unknown how long he's going to be out for. I'm hearing anywhere between 3 weeks up to 6 to 8 weeks. So Sammy Watkins, I mean, Hill was still in the game when Sammy Watkins was going off, but it seems like Sammy Watkins is going to get a bulk of the targets with Hill being out of the lineup. Maybe we see Hardman come in and pick up some targets there and looking Kelsey's way a little bit more. Shady McCoy seems to fit in really well there. That offense, it's just the next man up. They lose a guy and they still don't even miss a beat. It's any thoughts on those guys or that game at all in general? I mean, and on the flip side of that, Nick Foles, big acquisition, free agent signing this summer, is injured. He's designated to return IR. Gardner Minshew comes in and only misses three passes. I think he went 22 of 25 through a touchdown. So he looks all right. I mean, it's the Chiefs defense. They're not that great. So we'll see how he does next week in his first full start. But just overall, a lot of funky things happened in that game. But I mean, the Chiefs just seem to pick up where they left off last season.
Yeah. I think what you say, Minshew, is that how you say it, right?
Minshew, I believe it is.
Minshew, okay. I wasn't sure. He actually set a record, I think, completion percentage for his first game. But, I mean, this is they're going to get some tape on him this week. They're going to look hard at how he played the Chiefs defense. And I see a little bit of a letdown. I know people are probably going to blow, especially in two QB leagues, they're going to blow a ton of fab on him. And, I don't know. I want to see another week. Fournette was, you know, kind of hit and miss this week. And I think Jacksonville, they spread the ball around a lot, but they could be in for a long season. Chiefs are going to be great. I think Hardman, you got to take a nice long look at him this week. And as far as any running backs there, I'm not sure. Shady might get the ball. I think they'll just play the hot hand. For everybody that wasted early picks on Damian Williams, I'm sorry. He wasn't high on my list, and I didn't recommend it to very many people because I saw kind of a timeshare coming. Eric, what you think?
Oh, well, I only have Damian Williams in one league. I actually got him in our redraft league, but I got him in the fourth round, which I said all along was the place I'd be willing to take Damian Williams because there was a lot of speculation. There's a lot of things to worry about with Damian Williams. I mean, he really isn't the kind of guy that you want to give a full workload to. He's never been able to handle it. He's been in the league 7 years. But with Shady there, you know, Shady does, he's going to take some carries from him, but Damian Williams got all the passing down work and he got all the goal line work. And if that's going to be the case for Damian Williams going forward. I think that this actually is almost a better situation for him, where, you know, he doesn't have to carry all the workload. If he gets 12 to 15 touches, but they're the touches that count, you know, the catches and the goal line work, then he's a guy in a solid RB2 across the board going forward. I never thought he was going to be an RB1. I never thought he was going to be able to carry the 20 times a game and catch 8 passes and hold up all year long. That was, you know, that's where his draft price went. So that's why I don't have him on any teams. Demi Watkins, as far as I'm concerned, is top 10.
Oh, no.
Going forward, he is top 10. He might be top 5. Tyreek Hill's injury, I was reading about it earlier today. I guess he dislocated part of his clavicle, a piece, like a part of the collarbone that's attached to the breastplate. Or, you know, it was kind of, you know, some medical stuff that's a little above my pay grade. But I guess there were some blood vessels that were in jeopardy, and that's why they had to take him to the hospital afterward. And it could be, there's a possibility of it being a season-ending injury, but it's a very high possibility that he's going to be on IR in a return, which would put him out to week 10 or 11. And if that's the case, he'd be walking, he'd be in the lineup every team going for 100% owned all the way forward, because he is, you know, he's a great receiver, and as long as he's healthy, he's going to be Patrick Bell's best quarterback.
All right, and then, I mean, like Justice Hill, there's another rookie running back that we've all been pretty high on, that's Darwin Thompson. Are you dropping him, still holding on to him now with Shady there and Damian Williams? And what's your thoughts on him now?
I think he's a drop in any redraft weeks.
Oh, I agree there. I just don't have the room for it. I love to stash him, but to get production, you're going to want to pick him up, I think, about, unless there's an injury, you're going to want to pick him up back up around week 8 in redrafts. But right now, he's a drop for me also in any redraft. I haven't stashed in some dynasties, but there's other guys out there that you should be picking up over him right now.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, moving on. Another game here. This one was kind of a shocker, probably one of the shockers of the week. The Tennessee Titans, now they have a pretty strong defense, especially that back end, but they go into Cleveland, one of the most overhyped teams of the summer, and kind of just bring them back down to earth. They go there, 30-point win, 43-13. Baker Mayfield just looked like absolute crap. Threw for 285 yards, but one touchdown, 3 picks. Marcus Mariota, on the flip side, he looked pretty good. He had 3 touchdowns, no picks, 248 yards. Got everybody involved. Delaney Walker, 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry had that nice long touchdown, 84 yards on the ground. One of the guys, Corey Davis, didn't do anything. He had a goose egg. I don't know, like, how many of you guys started him or if you got him in any leagues, but he was a huge disappointment. But overall, I mean, putting up 43 points in Cleveland on a team that's supposed to be good. And even if they're going to take some time to gel together, their defense was at least good last year and should have been good this year, but led 43 points to the Titans. Who wants to start with that one?
I can start.
Oh, go ahead. By all means, Eric, go ahead.
I've been saying all offseason, stop it with the Browns hype. It's gotten crazy, man. It really, and maybe it makes sense because of the talent on the team. I mean, they have one of the better front sevens as far as talent that you're going to look at on defense. A developing young secondary with Denzel Ward and Peppers, and, you know, you'd think they'd be great Peppers on defense at least. That's what I said. Jabril Peppers, right?
He's with the Giants now.
Oh.
You're good.
Well, that makes sense.
No wonder why you didn't see him.
Yeah, no wonder they're not good. Anyway. But, yeah, I mean, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, they give the ball to Nick Chubb 6 times in the first half? One of their best weapons that, you know, if they could get the run game going, you'd think that their offense would really start gelling. But, man, it was ugly, a really ugly game for that team all around. And the one thing that pissed me off the most was the one goal line opportunity they had. They brought in their third down back, Hilliard, and let him score the touchdown instead of Chubb. That, man, that was it for me. I was pissed.
I was not surprised, as you saw from me picking the Titans this in the weekly picks. The hype train with them is just, it's too much, too fast. I mean, Beckham didn't even have a bad game. When he had like 7 catches for 71 yards, or, I mean,
yeah, okay,
Tennessee is a solid squad. It seems like it's always injuries with them. You all know my son, Derrick Henry. You know, Tennessee needs to ride him. He needs to be getting like 30 touches a game. I swear. Every time he gets touches, they play well. I think Tennessee could really surprise a lot of people this year. I think Cleveland will turn it around. Of course, we'll talk about them later, I'm sure, with our week 2 games. Hint, hint. And, but I really think that people need to take a step back. It's not suicide watching Cleveland yet. They'll figure some stuff out. Manziel will figure it out. There's just so many pieces to that offense, and it's year 2. Team's got more film on him. So, is it year 2 with him? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Year 2. I get him and Manziel a little confused sometimes.
Yeah, well, a Cleveland Browns quarterback doesn't usually last that long.
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
But he does have a favorable matchup this week. Hint, hint. Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it yet. They still, yeah, they got blown out as a team, but fantasy-wise, you said it. I mean, Odell did have a solid game. In a PPR, he had 7 receptions, 71 yards. Chubb still put up 80 yards on 20 touches. So, I mean, the averages really aren't that well, but he got points. I mean, if you want to think about it like that, and Njoku with a touchdown, he kind of saved if you had a measured tight end. He didn't really have the catches or the yardage, but the touchdown should have saved your week from a tight end perspective. So it wasn't too bad with those three. Mayfield probably hurt you. Landry, he had 4 catches for 67, so 10 points. Not terrible, but probably wanted more. So it wasn't terrible from a fantasy perspective, but, I mean, they definitely got to figure it out. And they have their home opener. I believe it's their home opener. I know they play the Jets. It's Monday night. I think it's – oh, it's actually in New York. So so they're still – they just had their home opener in Tennessee or against Tennessee. Wow. All right.
Oh, yeah, you saw that – I saw the pictures of those stands in the fourth quarter. Not much dog pound in there.
All the brown paper bags over their heads.
There wasn't even anybody there to put them on. It was very un-Browns like.
Yeah.
To leave early, even if they're getting blown out.
All right, a couple more games to touch on here. We had a tie. The Lions and Cardinals, they just wanted to keep on going back and forth and hug it out at the end. They didn't want to let anybody win. So Murray looked good in the second half, though. He didn't really look too good to begin with, but ended up with pretty respectable numbers, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did throw an interception, was sacked 5 times. I believe a lot of the sacks did come in the first half, so he kind of turned it around. But they ended up playing to a 27-27 tie with the Lions. A lot of fantasy implications there. Stafford had an excellent game. Kerryon Johnson, kind of a disappointment, but Hockenson, keep on looking at all these numbers here, all the games that we've talked about. It's like, I'm looking at a rookie here, and then I'm seeing that, wow, this rookie did really good. And then we go to the next team, and it's like, wow, this rookie did even better. Hockenson, tight end, 6 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown. He is probably one of the hottest waiver wire picks this week, if he hasn't been drafted in your leagues. I mean, he's drafted in most of my leagues, but I know on in a lot of areas he's still available, so he's going to be going for quite a bit of money if you're in a fab league or just first person off the waivers. Amendola, 7 catches for 104 yards with a touchdown.
Yeah, big catch. That big touchdown, didn't he? His long one.
Added his stats.
Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay getting on the score sheet. Not Marvin Jones, but Kenny Galladay getting on the score sheet. Marvin Jones with 9.6 points in PPR. Larry Fitzgerald just looking like a 25-year-old Larry Fitzgerald. 8 receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown. David Johnson is looking good so far. So a lot of fantasy implications there. Any thoughts on that game at all in general?
I think we need to get Kenny Golladay on the show.
We'll definitely work on that.
Sorry, I wanted to say that when you're talking. I've been a long-time Kenny G fan. But this game was kind of just blah in the first half. It really picked up in the second half, like you say, with Murray. Murray was scaring me a little bit in that first half. I'm like, man, he doesn't look himself out there. But he picked it up in the second half. And, you know, I watched him go back and forth and back and forth. And I like it. I think Fitzgerald could really have a big year this year. I have Kirk in a lot of dynasties, so I'd like him to do better. But, I mean, that I don't know. But it's kind of a blah game to me, to be honest. There's a good finish, or poor beginning, good in the middle, terrible ending, and I don't have too many players on the Cardinals or the Lions besides Golden. So that's about all I have on it. It's kind of a blah game to me. Anyway, Cardinals fans, I mean, you know, they're not that great anyway. Just kidding. I'll let Eric discuss some more on that, though.
It was an ugly game. I mean, it really was like a fourth quarter resurgence by the Cardinals. They didn't really play three quarters of football. The Lions just let it go. They let it. I don't know if it was like a prevent style thing at the end there that just kind of let the Cardinals out. All of a sudden, Larry just turned a switch and he was making every incredible grab he could see. And I it's really hard to make any takeaways from this game other than Hawkinson's awesome. I he was going to be one of my targets late, but I kept hitting it. I ended up with a lot of Walker, Delaney Walker, and Darren Waller, which I'm not upset about, but I only ended up with Hawkinson on two teams. I kind of wish I had him on more. I think he's going to be pretty darn great this year. And as far as the waiver claim thing, I'm in 12 leagues, and I found him available in one that I put a claim in for him. I don't think I'm going to get him. But he is more widely taken as far as available, or instead of available, but definitely need to go out there and look for him because I think he's going to be top 5 tight end this year.
Yeah, he's somebody that you could even flex, I guess, if you need to put him there. So definitely going to be a hot pickup if he's available. I mean, I don't think he'll be available between week 2 and week 3, I'll put it that way. We'll talk about a couple more games. One of the bigger ones, well, at least fantasy-wise, was the Giants and Cowboys. Dak Prescott throwing for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Saquon Barkley only touching the ball 15 times. Eli Manning throwing for over 300 yards. Evan Ingram getting in on the score sheet for tight ends with 11 receptions, a touchdown.
We had talked about him on the last podcast, too.
Who?
Me and you had talked about Ingram as being probably the only, besides Barkley, the only viable player on the Giants.
Yeah, and now even this week coming up, with Buffalo coming into town, Sterling Shepard's going through some concussion protocol, so they're going to be looking his way and Barkley's way even more. I'd imagine that Barkley's going to get more than 15 touches. That's probably the shocker of the week there. He 11 rushes, 4 receptions. You got to get the ball into his hands a lot more than that. I don't know why they didn't. I mean, he still had over 140 yards, but he's still, you got to put the ball in his hands more. There's no reason to not. So, but Dak Prescott, like I said, 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. If it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, Dak would have been the number one quarterback this week. Zeke with that big extension, getting into the end zone, but not much on the ground there. Michael Gallup had a huge game. Amari Cooper, big game there. Newcomer Randall Cobb with a respectable fantasy game. Jason Witten coming out of the booth, and now we're forced to listen to Booger McFarland even more, but he had a touchdown. But a lot of good fantasy impact there. Any thoughts on those or why Barkley didn't get more than 15 touches?
I saw a funny meme earlier this week that Eli Manning must have a must have like the owner's daughter's sex tape or something, because I don't know how he's even out there, man. They should be playing Daniel Jones. They should have Barkley out there touching that ball all game long, because guess what's going to happen next summer with Barkley? We're going to be looking at the same thing that's happened this past summer with Ezekiel Elliott. So they need to be giving him that ball, and that's the only chance they're going to win any games, or they're going to be back right back in the top five, hopefully drafted a wide receiver. besides that, Gallup, he surprised me. I was never really high on him. A lot of Cowboys fans told me I'm crazy, so I picked him up in a couple leagues, and I was proved wrong. Thank God I don't have to listen to Witten in the booth anymore. And off to you, Eric.
Yeah, man, I think the Kellen Moore offense is alive and well. I think it's clicking. You know, I've always been a big Dak truther. I think that he's better than people give him credit for. And you know, they put in a real system here where they get some good weapons in front of him. Gallup in his second year looks like he's great. Randall Cobb, I think, was the second highest PPR scorer this week, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not. No, I guess that doesn't make sense. He had 120 yards and 8 catches and a touchdown or something like that. He was great. Cooper had a great showing. Zeke, he barely played the second half. I mean, they came out, and that's the thing about Barkley only getting that many touches, is they got up so fast. They were down by 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns so quickly that it really didn't seem like they had much of a chance after that. They couldn't get, you know, the ball going much. But Barkley still turned, 14, 15 touches into 140 yards, which he's just awesome. Barkley's just the man. But Zeke's going to be great going forward. I really like this Dallas offense. I think, you know, I don't know about – you can't expect those same performances from Gallup and Cobb going forward, but it's just some guys that you need to go out and pick up and think about rostering. I don't know. You know, Cobb taking that Cole Beasley role, he's better than Cole Beasley. He always has been. And if he takes that role and expands on it, that's kind of what he did this last week. But he's a guy that might need to be rostered all the time. Gallup, I think, is going to be up and down, but Cooper's going to – games that he did this week. I just like the whole thing.
I
like it all.
Yeah, definitely good offense. Definitely a lot of options there. I mean, you could definitely get some duds from Gallup, get some duds from Cobb, but to have him on your roster is not a bad idea at all. What do we got here? The Patriots are still the Patriots. I mean, and if this Antonio Brown thing is just a whole bag of nothing, then they're just going to be even better. They got options galore there with Julian Edelman, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, James White catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean, it's hard to find a loss on their schedule, especially the way that they manhandled the Steelers. So don't want to talk too much about them. I'm sick of them winning, but they're just going to keep on doing it.
Yeah, I'm sick of them too.
The Bills beat the Jets, which was kind of inevitable, which is why we didn't start there. finally, the last game I want to talk about from week one is that thriller in New Orleans. That was one of the, I mean, aside from that KCLA game from last year, the KCLA Monday night game from last year, this was probably one of my favorite games to watch. It was just up and down. I mean, Deshaun Watson got hit or sacked 6 times. It doesn't seem like their O-line woes have went away, but he's still perceived, and he came in and played really well. 268 yards, 3 touchdowns, found DeAndre Hopkins for 2 of those touchdowns, found Kenny Stills with like 30 seconds left at the end of the game for the go-ahead touchdown, and then that was enough time for Drew Brees to march down the field and let Lutz hit a 58-yard field goal to win the game. So overall 30-28 final score, but the game from beginning to end was just it was an awesome game to watch, and a lot of fantasy impact there too with Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if many people had Kenny Stills, but I mean he had some solid numbers there. Will Fuller, any thoughts on that game? I mean, we were all talking about it in the chat, but let's get some thoughts on that game.
Yeah, I So yeah, both, you know, the two wide receivers, Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins, didn't let anybody down. They showed out what they're going to be doing this year. Will Fuller had a big catch. I think that, you know, you're going to have your big games and your smaller games with him. I think this is one of the lighter ones. Kenny Stills, I still don't think he's anybody you want to pick up or start, but it was encouraging to see him out there catching bombs. One person I was really impressed with was Carlos Hyde. He looked sharp. He looked fast. I mean, he was splitting time pretty evenly with Duke Johnson, but when he was getting touches, man, he was moving. So that's encouraging to see. I think he's a guy that needs to be considered to be gone out and picked up on your waiver wires. Ted Ginn, if they're at home, you just need to put Ted Ginn in your lineup. If the Saints are playing at home, that's just the way it is. And it was a great game. I mean, it was great. They had me yelling at the TV. I love it. So it's great.
Or Ed, any thoughts on the game?
excuse me, sorry. Not too much from what Eric had mentioned. It was I picked up Hyde before the game and just stashed in a couple leagues because I think it was pretty much unanimous from all of us that Duke Johnson was going to be very overrated and overdrafted this year with the Lamar Miller injury. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins didn't surprise. I'm not surprised. I'm high on everybody. That's probably the most fantasy implications of any game this past week was probably Houston and New Orleans. They have so many players. Kamara was scaring me a little bit, but picked it up. Again, I don't think you'll get those numbers every week in and week out for again. I'm sorry?
I said only at home. He does it at home every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, again, you know, he is what he is. He's going to catch a 50-yard bomb, and that's what he does. And besides that, you're going to get three no-names next week that catch touchdown passes for the Saints. I don't know. Going forward, I like New Orleans. I think Drew Brees is a viable guy every week. Went very low drafted, and I have him on a lot of teams.
Yeah, not to mention, I don't think anybody's mentioned Alvin Kamara either. He had a pretty strong game, both in the rushing and the passing game. He had 97 yards on the ground. He had a bunch of catches for another 70 yards, 7 catches for 72 yards, 97 yards on the ground. Didn't find the end zone, but I mean, in a PPR league, that's 14 plus 10, that's 24 points without even getting into the end zone. So that's a strong game there from him. Another guy that we didn't talk about, we didn't really talk about the game, but Christian McCaffrey, another one. He picked up right where he left off last year, 128 yards on the ground, another 81 yards through the air. He found the end zone twice. Plus, he added 10 catches. So, I mean, that's – and he gets to go in and play this Thursday. He gets to play against the Tampa Bay Bucks. So, I could expect another big game out of him. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm kind of excited about that game, and not just because of my man crush on Jameis Winston, but just I just want to see McCaffrey play. It's not often that I'm able to sit down and actually watch him because I'm usually on Sundays watching a bunch of other games. But this Thursday we get to watch him and see him put up another 200 yards and a couple touchdowns.
I wish I would have never wrote an article about him because he has just been terrible since I jinxed him. My love of my man crush on Winston is just... I just killed him. He's been terrible ever since.
It's you need to find it and delete it because we need him to come out. I got on a lot of teams there.
Yeah, I mean, most quarterbacks should be. It's a pass happy offense that his motion's slow. He's just he reminds me a lot of Cam, honestly. I really don't like either of them this year now. And that sounds terrible. I was going to talk about Cam later, but I think Cam is kind of on the way down. I know that Eric likes him. I think Eric likes him, but I'm not a huge fan, and I think they'll be drafting a quarterback sooner rather than later.
Well, they got Will Greer that they brought in. So, I mean, nice. Maybe he'll work out for him. But, yeah, I mean.
A real quarterback.
It's only week one, and they get to go against each other in week two. So, we'll see. I mean, I'm comfortably keeping Winston in my lineups that I have him in. So, I'm not too worried about it yet. Mike Evans was like, I guess he had the flu, so his game was terrible. But, I mean.
A couple of them had the flu. What's that? That linebacker, White, I forgot his first name. He was questionable on Saturday too with illness. A couple of them were sick in there.
I heard it was actually throughout most of the locker room, like 8 or 9 of them were sick with the flu this week. And that was something that people were bringing up that might have had something to do with their ails, but you know, no excuses. But yeah, I'm not panicking. On Cam or Winston, I'm probably going to try and find some streamer options for Winston this week. I don't like the short week going into Carolina on Thursday. That's typically not a good place you want to play a quarterback. So I might fade him a little bit this week, but I'm not dropping him yet. So
that Carolina defense is going to be, if you have some fab, if you have a high fab option, Carolina defense would be would definitely be one to check on for Thursday night football. Remember we talked about it? Don't play your Thursday night guys unless it's an absolute stud.
At home, yeah. You want to play the defenses at home.
I'm picking up Carolina in whatever leagues I can snatch them up in.
Yeah, I mean, Winston did throw 2 pick-sixes, so there's no definitely every reason in the world to grab him. I don't blame you there. Let's move on while we're already there, let's move on to week two. What's one of your favorite matchups that you got aside from, we'll start with you, Ed, aside from the Monday Nighter where the Browns are going to get their first win of the season, what's one of your favorite matchups that you got?
Well, I mean, Saints-Rams, of course, has to be up there. Trying to establish that rivalry in the NFC. But this one's going to surprise you what I have. I got the Chiefs and the Raiders. And I know that sounds weird because the Raiders always suck. But I'm interested in what the Raiders are going to do this year. Year two of Gruden. They looked a little bit better this week. I mean, the Broncos aren't great, but, I mean, Carr was able to move the ball. He looked sharp year two in this offense. And I don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs by at all. The Chiefs got to be the biggest favorite of the week, maybe besides Patriots and the Dolphins.
Yeah,
but no one's going to beat that. But I'm interested to see how this Raiders team competes, and I'd like to see them take a step forward. I like John Gruden. I don't know what it is. He's a likable guy. I don't know what to tell you. I liked him on Monday Night Football. I might have been in the minority, but I like him. So I'm hoping they do well.
You can't underestimate division games either. It doesn't matter. I mean, aside from the Buffalo and New England rivalry, or I wouldn't even call it a rivalry because they've been kicking our ass for 20 years. Like almost every division game, there's always a chance. I mean, Washington almost went into Philly and beat them this week. And you got Arizona, who's been not that great for the past couple of years. They're always giving the Rams a fit, even in St. Louis and LA, wherever they've been playing. So you can't underestimate that game. It is in Oakland too. So I'm not saying that the Raiders are going to win, but to put all your money, to put everything on the Chiefs, to pick the Chiefs in a suicide pool, that's just dumb. Eric, what's your favorite game this week?
Well, the two Ed mentioned are probably the best games. I do like. I also want to see what the Raiders can do at home against the Chiefs. I want to see that. That'll show us if the Raiders are a good team. You know, if they're really a good team, if they can keep up with that high-powered Chiefs offense. And shout out to Josh Jacobs. We didn't talk about him, but he had a great game. He looked great as a rookie. And John Gruden's going to grind that guy out. He might get 350 touches this year.
I agree.
But you know. And maybe it's a little bit of a homer pick, but I think the Packers-Vikings game is one to watch. I think they both have great defenses, and you know it's a divisional game. They're both coming in 1-0 off of pretty big wins, and that's one to keep your eye on too. It could go either way. You know, maybe it was just a rusty start for the Falcons and for the Bears, and neither of these defenses are nearly as great as they appeared, but I think it's going to be a tight game and maybe a little low scoring, and we'll see if the Packers can go 2-0.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game there. I'm kind of excited about that one too. I want Davante Adams to hopefully have a better game than he had last week, but Kirk Cousins, I can't believe they only let him throw the ball, and he really didn't need to, but he only threw the ball 10 times. He still ended up with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, so it wasn't like, the whole week wasn't ruined because of it, but 98 yards, 10 passes, that's how do you let that happen? But it's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm kind of looking forward to it's weird for me to say it, but I'm kind of looking forward to the Patriots-Dolphins game, and not even because it's a rivalry game. I just want to see how bad the Patriots smack the Dolphins.
Always play them tough.
They always play them tough in Miami too, and that's where it's at. And again, it's another divisional game, but like you see, the Ravens threw up 59 points on them, but I've been since like this whole week leading up to it, I've been seeing a bunch of, we could see 100 points put on the Dolphins for the first time in NFL history. And it's like, I don't think that's going to happen, but it's kind of interesting to think about. It's kind of interesting to see. According to Yahoo right now, they are 19 point favorites.
It keeps climbing. They're 17, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, that's the biggest spread of the week, and that's not going to change, and that's going to be 95% of people's, even though it is a road game and a divisional game, it's going to be 95% of people's suicide picks. But
every game against the Dolphins will be the pick.
My buddy at work, he came up to me today and he said, "I've made all my suicide picks for the entire year." He's everyone against the Dolphins, unless I couldn't pick them again.
It's just going to be a slaughter. I can't wait to see. Like, it's one of those things where you could play any Patriot that you got, just throw them in your lineup and something's going to happen.
Yeah. I'll take the
Sonny Michelle.
I'll take the over on 19 points. And I think Sonny Michelle's a good start too.
Yeah. I mean, Rex Burkhead is even a good start in this game. It's going to be madness.
Garbage time.
Yeah, exactly. But who's aside from like your everyday plays or anything like that, who's a player that you are that you're kind of targeting this week that maybe we'll say like a DFS guy? Who's a DFS guy that you might be looking at that you're gonna have in your lineups and kind of break out this week?
You want me to start?
No, go ahead.
Go with your Josh Allen, John Brown stack this week, man, against that Giants crappy secondary. That Josh Allen, John Brown stack. And I'm sure they'll be cheap, and then you can load up your lineup elsewhere. But that's obviously any Patriots you want to start. But I don't think they're going to be cheap this week. But Josh Allen, John Brown. I'm going to run that this week for sure.
But the Giants have the other Jabril Preppers.
That's true.
And who's a guy or a couple of guys that you want to play in all your DFS this week?
Well, it's actually a guy that I had forgotten in my original rankings this week, but if Mixon doesn't go, which I have my doubt, I think the rest of the week, Gio Bernard is up for a huge game. They load him up. There's not going to be anybody else to take the carries for him. It's just going to be him. He's going to be on down every back. And I think he'll be a little cheap this week. I haven't set any of my lineups yet. It's too early in the week for me. Gio Bernard, Coleman's gone, so Breida. Geis is out, so Adrian Peterson. These are all plays. These are all guys that are probably going to come in under $6,000 on DraftKings. AP will probably be around $5,500. Breida might be around like $5,000. Geo probably around 5,500. I mean, these are all guys that you could play and stack up the rest of your team. And it's guys that should do well to, they're not going to give you goose eggs or anything. Those are probably my two biggest ones. Eckler is going to probably go way up in price this week. I was looking at him, but he had the second most points for running backs this week, so he's going to go way up. But those are the ones. I always look at the running backs. Wide receivers are a dime a dozen in daily fantasy to me. You can get a wide receiver for 4,500 that is going to get you seven catches for 70 yards. But yeah, running backs.
Yeah. Go ahead, man. I was going to say, you want to hit those, you know, daily, though, you want to hit those guys. That's, you want to hit the Hollywood Browns and the John Rosses. So,
exactly. I love John Ross.
Yeah, they look good. This week, too, I guess that 49ers defense, I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, that was one I was going to say. So, but another one, too, and it's a guy that I have in a lot of my redrafts and other leagues like that, too. Tyrell Williams, I think, and you guys already touched on the game as far as the game that you guys are looking forward to. But especially against the KC defense, they're not that great of a defense, and they're going to need to play catch up. Derek Carr, hopefully he could have another good game and find Tyrell Williams, and maybe he goes over 100 again, maybe grabs a couple touchdowns. But I don't see him being too expensive either. I haven't looked at DFS yet to see what their prices are yet, but I could see him being a huge factor, especially in what should be a high flying offensive game there.
Yeah, I like that stack too. I like that stack too. Carr and Williams would be a good stack.
Any guys that I know? Now we preach start your studs, and we're not saying to bench your studs or anything like that, but any guys that you normally would play that you're kind of avoiding or kind of fading this week?
I mean, it's still early in the week for me. I need to see how everybody practices, man. I mean, I'm not playing any Dolphins, of course. No offense to the Dolphins, but they are just, I don't like them anyway. I really, and y'all can kill me if you want to, but I really think that Baker Mayfield could lay a dud on Monday night against the Jets. That offense is going to be way more aggressive with Greg Williams in there as the D coordinator. And I think it'll force Baker into some bad plays. The Monday night spotlight, I know that he got them that win against the Jets, the first win in 27 years for the Browns or whatever last year. Against the Jets, but I think I would avoid Baker Mayfield on Monday night. Any Dolphins, of course, and that's the players that avoid. Joe Flacco, don't stream him. That matchup against the Bears scares me for the Broncos too.
Yeah, I could agree with that, and I was actually thinking Mayfield too. On the flip side of that Broncos-Bears game, I mean, yeah, Broncos, we just talked about it, how Oakland looked good this past Monday, and how Derek Carr hit all of his receivers and all of his tight ends. But Mitch Trubisky against that Broncos defense, I'm not a huge fan of that either, especially in Denver. That crowd's going to be fired up. Coming off a game that they think that they should have won. And so, I mean, I'm not trusting Mitch Trubisky in that game.
I'm trusting Mitch Trubisky in any game.
Deals.
What's give me a stat line for Lamar Jackson at home against the Cardinals.
I got 20 for 31. Three touchdowns, one interception, 10 carries for 75 yards.
Dang. Oh, that's a good line, man. I can't argue with it. He's going to have another great game, I think. That's the game I would fade in general, Cardinals, from a fantasy perspective, if you have the option. You're going to start David Johnson, obviously, but I think I would avoid starting Vince or Murray or Kirk or those guys every day. I probably wouldn't fade any Jaguars in general. The Fournette, you know, you don't have any other options from where you took him, but man, I just don't know how that team's going to look. Redskins, Adrian Peterson, if you're desperate, if you lost Coleman and you lost Mixon and you went, you know,
RB early, then maybe you got to pick up AB and start, or AP and start him. But another team I kind of try to avoid.
Which Rams receiver are you trusting the most this week against the Saints?
Let's start them all.
Woods.
Start them all in Woods. Yeah, I've Cup's been really the one that I haven't really been too high on. I got a couple Cooks and a couple Woods, but definitely agree with you, Eric, though. Start them all. I mean, that could be a high flying game too. What's our thoughts on the Steelers? Any coming off that 33-3 loss, they're at home now against the Seahawks. The Seahawks defense isn't what it used to be and what we're used to, but obviously you're not fading a guy like Connor or Juju Smith-Schuster or anything like that, but do they bounce back this week?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think Ben, he always plays well at home. The Belichick just game plans for Ben very well. They've seen each other so many times now. I know that they're kind of leaning towards that quick hitter offense. Brown ain't there to save him anymore when he makes them bad passes down there deep. So he's still adjusting, I think. Connor, you got to play him, but he really didn't find too many holes this week. The Patriots looked like a Super Bowl team. They looked like who we thought they were. Steelers need to put up a little more fight. I think they bounce back. I think it might be a high-scoring game, 38-31. I got the Steelers.
Yeah, man, I'm worried. I am. I was a little worried coming into this season about the Steelers, about Big Ben. And, you know, just the loss of AB, it's – I didn't think it would be this drastic, but, I mean, really, they double-teamed Schuster, and Moncrief looked bad. And
oh, Washington, man, Moncrief is so bad.
Yeah, Washington wasn't much of a threat, so they stacked the box. They stopped Connor. Juju couldn't really get it going. And what else are they going to do? I mean, Vance McDonald was barely a factor. I'm really worried about the whole. I have almost no shares of Connor. I think I have him in one league just because I just wasn't as high on him. I was just a little worried about, you know, teams focusing on the run because they don't have to focus on AB and Juju Smith-Schuster coming out of the, you know, into the secondary. That's something you have to account for. So I'm a little worried. If they don't bounce back here against the Seahawks defense that gave up over 400 yards to Andy Dalton, if they can't put up numbers and score some points, I'm going to be pretty worried about the Steelers. And Juju hurt his toe, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, that toe thing with receivers especially, it seems to linger and it seems to slow him down. And I just hope that's nothing because I really like Juju. I don't have any shares of him. I think I have one. But I really like him, and so I hope he's all right, and I hope I'm wrong. But, man, I am a little worried about the Steelers' offense.
So you're not high on the Red Rooster? Dalton throwing them 400 yards?
He could be good going forward. Who knows? That, you know, the new offense in place, it seems to be a little, you know, Dalton's never been bad. I mean, he's had to deal with Marvin Lewis's terrible coaching for the last decade almost, and he still actually put up respectable numbers year after year until recently. So who knows? He might have a resurgence.
The biggest thing that I got against the Bengals, and I think that their Achilles heel is was injuries, and now we're at number two. AJ Green, they've already lost for a little bit, and now Joe Mixon, who knows what's going on with him. But I mean, when everybody's healthy, they can be a pretty solid team up front on the offensive side of the ball. So, but now we got to see. I mean, hopefully Gio Bernard could just kind of keep things going. They almost won in Seattle. I didn't really watch much of that game, so I don't know exactly how close it was, but they almost beat Seattle in Seattle. So, I mean, when Green comes back, when Mixon comes back, if Dalton's healthy still, if Tyler Boyd's still healthy, if Ross still has a connection with Dalton, if Eifert happens to stay on the field somehow, then, I mean, that offense can be scary. All right. So, final thing before we close up, running a little long, I'm going to just run down the either the matchups that are both 0-1 or the matchups that are both 1-0, and just tell me who's going to win. We don't need to go into too much detail. We won't touch the 1-0 versus 0-1 guys, but starting with the Bucks and Panthers, both 0-1.
Panthers.
Vikings, Packers, both 1-0.
Packers. Vikings.
Jags and Texans, both 0-1.
Texans
for me, too.
Chiefs and Raiders, both 1-0.
Chiefs.
Bears and Broncos, both 0-1.
Broncos. I'm picking the Broncos.
Broncos, huh?
In my upset special.
That's your upset special? Broncos. Broncos in Denver?
It's in Denver. I'm going to go Broncos, too.
Against MVP Trubisky.
I did my picks today, and I don't remember who I picked from them, so I won't say it. Saints and Rams, both 1-0.
Saints
for me, too.
Yeah, I got the Saints in that one. And then finally, Monday night, Browns and Jets, both 0-1.
Jets.
Browns. All right, guys, let's have a good fantasy week. Let's have a good let's hopefully all of our teams win except for Ed's. And don't forget, check out the page. It's that time of year where we got a lot of stuff going on. Every day we're posting something. It's almost on a schedule too. That's the Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook. We have Wednesday or Tuesdays. We have your waiver wire Tuesday. We got your start sit that posts late Saturday and goes into Sunday. We got your injury report. We got your weather report. We got your Friday follow up, kind of breaking down Thursday's game. We got the podcast going on. So every day there's going to be something, a lot of stuff going on. Garrett does a really good job with his scouting reports. So if you're looking ahead to the 2020 draft, if you're a Dolphins fan, definitely check those out. So yeah, check out the page, Fantasy Football Fraternity, and we'll catch you guys next week.